You're on Alive 90.5 with Darren Capes Davis and Jim Taggart, and we've asked to come back to the studio a very, very good friend, a person who I admire very greatly, and I'm very fortunate to be with this person on other boards, and it is none other than my very good friend, Bourne Rowles. Good morning, Bourne.
Morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Last time when you came to the studios with your beautiful daughters, you told us the story of you growing up, and that set a platform for us to now venture into where your life has gone and where it continues to go. You finished at Castle Hill High. You made a big decision. What did you do?
I think I was always going to do it if I got the marks, and I was lucky to get in. I just scraped into law at Macquarie Uni, did a law degree, and then went off into private practice.
Now, when you did your degree, that would have been in the 80s. Tell us about
90s,
the technology with regards to doing study, because I did a couple of degrees out at Macquarie, so I understand the library there and the whole thing, and I found that very difficult. Just navigating that particular part.
Oh, well, in those times, I use a guide dog now, but I had a long folding cane then. We had orientation mobility instructors come in and teach us the campus. I mean, times have changed so much now. If you want to go somewhere, you just punch it into Google Maps and give the dog directions left or right. The dog deals with it. But back then, you had to have someone come out and show you. Computers had just come in. I had my first laptop that was a off-the-shelf laptop purchased for my university studies, and used that with a speech, synthetic speech, and that would allow me to access Windows and use the computer. I hadn't been able to read a newspaper until I went to university, because the technology just wasn't there.
I find that just amazing, that story with regards to it. Let's fast track this. You finish at Macquarie Uni. What happens then? You go and seek employment?
Well, I went and volunteered at the local barrister's chambers in Parramatta, because you probably aren't aware, Jim, but blind people who want to get work, the statistics show that they are five times higher. The unemployment rate is five times higher than it is for sighted people. So as a graduate, getting a position with no professional reputation is not an easy task. So I volunteered with a group of barristers, because that allows you to build up referees. And I learnt my craft with them. And they would say to me, you know, we want you here at 5:30 tomorrow morning. We want you here at 7 o'clock tonight. We want you on a Sunday. Whenever they wanted you, you go. Because you go in any profession, any trade, you learn by watching what other people do. So you go when the work's on so that you can learn from it. So I had a good grounding, and then I went out into private practice where I was for 2 years in a firm. I left there and opened my own firm in Parramatta and worked that for about 6 years, and then I joined the Legal Aid Commission, where I am now.
And why did you make that jump? What caused you to do that?
Well, my then wife at the time and I had just had our first baby, and I remember sitting upstairs in the study, because I used to start at about 4 o'clock in the morning to get the court matters ready for that day, and then I'd work late at night as well. And I remember sitting in the study with a dictaphone one day and hearing my oldest daughter, who was about 6 months old, on the bottom step trying to get up to the top to see me while I'm talking into a dictaphone doing work. And I thought, this is no good. I need to change. I need to have a better work-life balance so I can be there for my kids, or they'll grow up and I won't see them. So that was the reason I swapped over.
That's a very strong statement, and congratulations on making that statement. That takes a lot of your time, doesn't it? The court matters. They're very intense and can be unpredictable.
Very unpredictable. I'm a duty solicitor with Legal Aid, so I'd read between 200 to 400 pages a day when I'm in court. And depending on what you've got, you often prepare at night or early in the morning.
And even as we speak now in real time, you've got to go from here to a number of court matters for a number of people this morning.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I'm going to make a sound. Vaughan, tell our listeners what I've just done.
I'm in the Australian and New South Wales blind cricket teams, and Jim has just shaken the ball that is used by blind cricketers around the world to play in tournaments. Cricket is played nationally and internationally within Australia and many other countries, and there are World Cups and international tournaments. Cricket Australia have a high performance program for blind cricketers within Australia, and that's replicated in other countries.
Well, I'm going to go back to you because you say that so quickly. Oh, you know, play for New South Wales and Australia. You have to be congratulated. Anyone who reaches in any sport at any level to play for their state, and in particular Australia, is to be congratulated. You have given me three hats, a blue hat and two green, your baggies, what we call the baggies, the Australian hats. Tell me, what was the feeling like when you were first selected for New South Wales?
Oh, enormous.
How old were you?
I think I was 17 at the time. I mentioned to you last week that the backyard cricket matches were very fierce in our family. So then to move and to play in a club competition from 14 onwards, and there's not the level of talent around in terms of, you know, in side of cricket, you'll have first, second, third, fourth grade. So as a boy at 14, you're playing in men's competitions because that's where you have to go if you want to get a game. So it was tough competition back then, but everyone was very accommodating, and we played in those competitions, and then to get to crack it for New South Wales was terrific. And then at, I think I was 19 or 20 when I played one game for Australia, and then after I finished university and started working, I took a break for a while. And then when my personal circumstances changed and I became a sole parent about 8 years ago, I went back to the cricket because I had a bit more time, and continued playing state cricket, and then eventually forced my way back into the national team after a 20-odd year hiatus.
That's fantastic. Tell us about the Australian experience.
Oh, it's changed significantly. The Cricket Australia are now running the setup for blind cricket in Australia. They appoint coaches, physios, doctors, and we train at the Centre for Excellence up in Brisbane, which is where the test players and the one-day players train. And to have a chance to be part of that setup is just amazing, and to turn up to training and find a test player in the nets next to you is a very humbling experience.
I think that's fantastic. You're on 90.5 with Darren Capes-Davis and Jim Taggart, speaking with Vaughan Rolls, an amazing person with a great story. Tell me, you're a batsman or a bowler?
Oh, a bowler.
You're a bowler.
Definitely
what's your
a
best,
bowler.
What's your best? Come on. Even if you on our show, you can fib, all right? So tell us a fib. What's your best numbers?
I'm not a big one for stats, Jim. I think the most satisfying performance was when I played a final for New South Wales 2 years ago now, and we were bowling into a gale. It was blowing massive wind, and I was bowling up into a wind and took two wickets in a final to help push us over the line. So that was really satisfying.
That's a great memory to have. Vaughan, I hope you don't mind me asking you, but family's very important to you. Your two daughters mean so much to you. What do you hold for their future?
Look, I think being a parent is probably the most important job I ever do. If I had to pick one job over playing for Australia, obviously your work is your income, and that's important to you being able to parent. But if I had to pick one job, it would probably be the parenting. I want the girls to grow up knowing that society is a fair place, and that it's our role as citizens to make it as fair as we can. And I want them to grow up realising that relationships are about equality, and that they're entitled to expect and give an equal relationship, whether that be with an intimate partner or whether it be with their friends. And I want them to grow up realising that family is strong and important, and even though their mum and I are not together anymore, and I want them to grow up seeing that we still get on and still parent effectively for the two of them. And hopefully down the track at some point, they'll see me with a partner and realise that that those relationships are important too, and that you can be committed to someone.
Vaughan, thanks for sharing that. It was a tough question. Listeners, Vaughan's two daughters are sitting in the studio with Darren and myself, and for you to articulate how you really feel about says a lot about you and says a lot about them. Thanks for sharing that with us this morning.
That's all right.
My final question to you, because we're running out of time again, and we're going to have to get my very good friend Vaughan back, Darren, because he's got so much to tell us. Riverside Theatre is very close to you. Tell us about your thoughts and thinking with regards to that.
I've always been interested in the arts, and I've always taken the view that you should volunteer where you can in your community somewhere to do something. And I try and have something going at any particular time. Riverside Theatres was an opportunity that came up for me, and it was something that I thought I could make a contribution to, not only from the point of view of my legal experience, but also from the point of view of making the arts a little more accessible. Riverside Theatres has a very good program for people who are blind or have low vision, where they have a narrator service called Audio Description, and that speaks over the top of the... there's a live person sitting in the box, and they describe what's happening on the screen in the visual elements of a theatre production. Those performances are scheduled usually for one performance per season. I'm hopeful of working with Riverside to eventually get to the stage where we have an on-demand audio description service, so that if a person wants to go to the theatre, they have the opportunity of going at a time that best suits them and their friends to enjoy the theatre to the same level that you or someone with sight would enjoy it. I think these things are terribly important for social inclusion, and with social inclusion you get so many benefits that flow from mental health, self-esteem, and the way that people see people with disabilities. So there, that's a project that I'm currently in the process of exploring and working through how we do that. And Riverside have been very supportive of that as well. But I hope that I bring a wider dimension to the disability-specific issues to the board. I try and contribute in other ways as well.
You do very much. I'm very fortunate to sit on that board, and your input is remarkable and brings to the board a perspective that is very worthwhile. That brings us to an end of our series with you, Vaughan. We'd like you to come back at another time to tell further your story about things that are happening, the challenges that are happening in society and legal aid and so on. So from Darren and myself on Spotlight, many, many thanks for being here. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for coming in and also bringing your daughters.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll now go to another song that Vaughan's given us, Darren.
The song I've picked for you, Jim, is a song by Red Gum. I always love music with a story, and this song is about a person they call Stewie. And Stewie is a person, when your listeners listen to the lyrics, who was born into disadvantage, went through a life of petty crime, and then got, as Red Gum put it, 3 years up the creek, being 3 years in jail for a crime. And it talks about his life, and it was inspired by Red Gum performing a concert, and Stewie was at a prison farm or something, and Stewie was there at that concert. So there's a lot of reason I've picked it is that's what gets you up and gets you going in the morning. There's a lot of Stewies in my work filing cabinet.
Thanks for that, Vaughan. Let's go to Stewie.
Alive 90.5.
Somewhere down Woodville, a smoky grey Thursday. Take out your sword, Stewie was born. There was blood on the sheets. Doctor was drunk and the sister was bored. Home was a weatherboard housing trust unit, a low cyclone fence and a sparse gravel drive. Dad was a truckie from Adelaide to Melbourne, 2 trips a week just to keep him alive. First sentence for Stewie was going to school. In prison grey trousers he walked in the yard. His mum shed a tear at his Vaseline pushback, clutching a ruler, his name on a card. Step four, Stuart Benson, the headmaster said. It seemed like Stewie was always in strife. Step four, Stuart Benson, the magistrate said. This time 10 years, next time life. Grade 1 to 7,
pass pretty quickly. Detention and caning and 1 million lines. Stewie could write just enough to get by. Stewie could read all the shoplifting signs. There was a bond for a biro and a fine for some fags. Another kid's bike leading up to a car. Photographs, fingerprints, juvenile courthouse. A year in McNally's for going too far. Step forced Stuart Benson, the magistrate said, over pine panel woodland, the face of the law. We think you're a threat to property and justice. 3 years up the creek while we make sure. Robbery with violence in retaliation for beatings and bashings at the hands of the screws. Time in and time out and time and again. Is this what they mean by paying your dues? Some people had plenty while others had none. For the same working week, it seemed year after year, worked over by coppers for tipping the scales. Life wasn't meant to be easy. Step for Stuart Benson, the magistrate said, over pine panel woodland, the face of the law. We think you're a threat to property and justice. 3 years up the creek while we make sure. Somewhere down Woodville, a smoky grey Thursday. Take out your sword. Stewie was born, there was blood on the sheets. Doctor was drunk and the sister was bored.